Shaquan and NSK on 102.9.
It's music by Fireboy DML on your radio. We also had that's Akiana Lead on Fresh FM. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate it. Now, we, in the first hour, we're actually in the second hour of Fresh Breakfast, we started a conversation on the backdrop of a case that was reported over the weekend. A case where a young lady was allegedly killed by her husband, in which she is in divorce. She's in a divorce proceedings with, and the story goes that the man is accused of killing the wife with scissors, and that they were even in the midst of divorce, but they were staying together as a result. And we started this conversation just perhaps to radically understand what is going on with the country. Why is it that for two decades long, perhaps even long, we seem to still struggle with violence? We still struggle to be intelligent with our emotions. We still struggle with rejection. And there were so many points that were made by a number of intellectuals in the previous hour. But you know what? We said, look, we're not the experts here. You know, perhaps we need to bring in someone that sits and deals with this every day. Someone that studies human psychology. And he did study the person's, human behavior. Certified Marriage and Relationship Counselor John Kamati is in studio. Good morning, my good sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. I am well. However, saddened by this news that you've just been sharing.
Yes.
Yeah.
We want to look at this in a very radical manner.
Yes.
And some of the points that were raised by learned callers in the previous hour. You know, things like emotional intelligence was mentioned, lack thereof, from both men and women.
Yeah.
Things such as, men feeling that we own women because, I've done this for her, A, B, C, and D, and C. The common saying of men need to speak out. Do men realize that they need help? Police reaction was also mentioned, the lackluster thereof.
Yeah.
If a person comes back for the 10th time, you must take it serious the 10th time.
Yeah.
School visits by police, do those still happen? Do they still sensitize people? There were many things that were mentioned, but where would you start when it comes to gender-based violence in this country? Where would you want to break it down from?
Thank you most kindly. When we said gender-based violence, I want to bring it down to violence against other human beings. Mm-hmm. Could be a woman, could be a man.
Yes.
And I think in this context now, it's very much the emphasis is on it being male to female, or even female to male.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the overriding argument or debate is that it's male to female.
To female, yeah.
Gender violence. People are relational beings. That is how we are wired by God who has created us. And when we talk about gender-based violence, we also talk about it in the context probably of a relationship between a male and a female where the one gender is exercising violence over the other.
Mm.
Now, the violence in relationship is very, very, it's a very complex dynamic because it's an interaction.
Mm.
It's I want to start off from the equation that let's not kid ourselves or let's not deceive ourselves that we are unequal. Because the whole concept of gender-based violence, I think what I keep hearing is always almost like men are more, they are the more stronger than, yes, physically created as such. But as human beings, we are equal. And the key where we miss it, I always see in the relationships when I counsel people in particular when people come to the point where they are either at a point of divorce or they are now really in a point where they are harming each other, and harm not necessarily always physical.
Yeah.
Emotionally. You mentioned emotional intelligence and so on. We are wired differently, male and female, obviously physically as well. Men are much more stronger. There's history for that. But also psychologically, our emotional makeup is different. When I always see something coming to the point of physical violence, I ask myself, what has transpired before? Because it's an interaction between two people of intimacy. When I say intimacy, not just physical intimacy,
mm-hmm.
interaction of emotional intimacy, you know, as you engage, you know, you speak and affirm one another, you embrace one another, your partner is very key in terms of how you even perceive and look, you know, how you do life.
Mm.
My observation and my personal take on issues is that there's two forms of violence. And I take it from a vantage point that we are equal. Male and female, we are equal. I'm also taking the biblical perspective that we are created in the image of God.
Mm.
But we have different roles. How can I put it? I'm looking for our makeup is to complement one another.
Okay.
If I may put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, if a male cannot have a child without having to fertilize a womb.
Mm.
And neither can a woman have a child without having her egg fertilized by a man. So you see, we depend on one another. We all are basically dependent on each other in this kind of relationship.
Hence why you say you're looking at it as a standpoint from equality.
In our humanity.
In a humanity, yes.
And the point is, if you look at the kingdom of the animal kingdom, look, for example, let's take an example of a lion. You see that the female is the hunter, yet the female is also the one that bears, of course,
the cubs.
The male is larger, but the male has a much, the male is a mater. He's the one, he's the progenitor. He's the one that lion can mate for about 200 times a day if you check it on National Geo or Animal Planet. What am I saying? I'm not belittling this thing. What I have observed is that whenever something culminates in this, and I'm not generalizing because there are so many factors at play.
Yeah.
I have found that especially when people are in a relationship, married, or they've been an item for a long time, so you develop a culture of, you are either married, single but living married, if I can put it. You have all the benefits of what a marriage relationship should bring forth. You have children, you sleep together, you are intimate with one another, both physically and otherwise. I find that in the interaction, sometimes the challenge comes here where if we see how different we are in terms of our makeup as male and female, looking at the physiology, but also at our psychology in the way that we relate. Women are emotional.
Mm.
They are emotionally wired. When I do counseling to men, I say that one of the things you need to understand is that women are emotional, and when you deal with them, you need to understand them in the fullness of their identity. They don't think like men, and nothing wrong with that. That's what makes this thing beautiful. They nurture. They have, as we say in Afrikaans, let us sister and take seven the thought after. Because that's how they... Now, I think in relationships, and I'm going to take you from scripture, because that's where, you know, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll give him a helpmate suitable for him. There's something good in a woman for a man that God has ordained. And so is there something good for a
woman? Vice versa, yeah.
Vice versa. But when you now look at how we are wired, even if you look, there's this beautiful book written, Men Are From Mars, I think Women Are From Venus. It's a very, very old book, but it's addressing the point that I'm trying to make, is that difference between us, that sometimes when it becomes dysfunctional, the violence thereof exhibits itself from a male to female in a physical sense, and it can be even to the extent of, you know,
of the demise.
And it exhibits itself in a more emotional, psychological level from female to male.
Mm-hmm.
Women speak. We find ourselves in a situation, and I don't know the circumstances of the story that you have not read about it, apart from the fact that I just heard it in the church. And in fact, even before I go into this thing, I think I would love to extend my condolences to this family that have lost their loved one, and really also just my it sounds nicer in Afrikaans, meer gevoel,
of course,
you know, for the family. In terms of what the turmoil and the pain that they are going through. So when things culminate to this, I think we need to look at it much more deeper. What were the root causes? What could bring a man or even a woman? Remember, these things do happen, although
both
not,
ways, yeah.
but both ways, or rather, more so physical. What could cause an emotional setup that will make you lose your sense of value and respect and even appreciation of your loved one to the extent that you'd love to
be alive away from them?
Yeah. I think anyone, let's start, just pause there.
Yeah, let's pause
just
there.
Pause there
just so that we can think a bit here.
What could bring somebody, a woman that have given you children, a woman that have embraced you and had you in her bosom,
nurtured
that
their home,
that you have had love, experience all that. If you just stop, you can see that it's dysfunctional. Something is amiss, something is wrong. And I think instead of just then talking about it, yes, emotional intelligence in terms of how we relate with one another, yes, our upbringing, our socialization, but also perhaps we need to look at it much deeper. Have we lost the values of what it means to have a relationship in terms of our responsibilities one to another, not just as male to female or female to male, but as humankind?
Hold the thought, Abudi John. Let's think about what you said now, and small break, and then we're going to continue with this. We've got certified marriage and relationship counselor in studio, John Kamati. Your voice notes and calls are also welcome. We'll take them after this.
The problem with running a successful business.
Hello? Time.
It is 8:31 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate you. Today, on this Monday, we decided, look, listen, it's still the month of love, and we want to celebrate love.
Yeah.
We love love on Fresh FM.
Yeah,
that's why, you know, Abudi John has been to Fresh FM studios so many times because, you know, we would have conversations about love and marriage and just relationships. But unfortunately, today we can't celebrate love. Today we have to investigate its dysfunctionality.
Yeah.
In Namibia. You know, was it in private conversations last week that someone in my pro circle said, we keep on bragging and we say Namibia is a peaceful country.
Mm.
But the question is, are we a loving country?
Well, that's a big statement.
Mm.
You know, we are too diverse. You know, I love when I do, sometimes I do talks and motivation and training in companies. And I'll make this statement. I say that, you know, one Namibia, or rather, one nation, one Namibia. And then I would say that lie. We are one Namibia, but we are actually diverse nations because we need to understand the cultural dynamics, cultural orientation, even at the level of individual behavior, personality types. It's a very beautiful, romantic idea, but that's where the key is to understand that we are ultimately, when it comes to the expression of these things, it happens at an individual level. But obviously it is informed by the bigger picture. Are we together?
Yes, yeah, we together.
Yeah, and so on.
I mean, previously, before we came on to a break, we were investigating now the dysfunctionality.
Yes.
You explained we are equal,
mm-hmm.
as the two genders.
Yeah.
Both genders have the strengths.
Yes.
And if there's dysfunctionality, we tend to use our strengths, quote unquote,
yeah.
for lack of a better word.
Yes.
And we abuse it onto the next person.
Yeah, to kind of equalize what we lack.
Equalize what we lack, okay.
Yeah. Women are soft. I think you will agree with me. Mm. Any men that love women would appreciate the fact that they are soft, tender, you know, even physically, you know, gentle, you know. Men, we rough physically. Nowadays, most of us go to offices, so we don't, you don't have to run after after the gazelles.
Exactly.
Are they getting softer? There's not much to say.
Yeah.
But what does that say?
Oh.
It speaks of our difference that needs to complement one another.
Yeah.
I'm very compliment and what's the right word I'm looking for? In order for us to make this life.
Yeah.
So when I speak about the differences that I've observed, I have come to this understanding, I say, hey, maybe we overlook the fact that we are really equal as people. And that is also what happens when we talk about GBV, that we then assume the other person is superior.
In one way or another.
No, it's only physically stronger, but emotionally very weak. When you start to behave in a dysfunctional way, it means that your emotional quotient, or the way that you should bring to the equation, you are unable to do that, and now you want to reinforce your status, your ego, by then, you know, by force, as they say. I like that they say by force, by fire.
By fire, yeah.
Yeah, and really. Sometimes, as we said, to the extent that we take people's lives.
Mm.
And I think that is the area that we have that's much deeper. It talks about our identity. It talks about our ego, how we, our esteem, how we look at ourselves, and so on. I always find it, just now, before I came here, funny enough, I was watching some animal program on you know, these viral videos.
Yeah.
And you end up watching one video
to another. Yeah,
yeah, moment you scroll up,
yeah,
it's over.
And it was all about just how animals behave, you know, in their natural habitat. They seem to have such established laws and rules. You know, I used an example before. A lion, a male lion, hardly hunts. It does hunt, strong, it can quickly grab, but female lionesses hunt, bring the food home, or whatever, home.
Yeah.
And then the male will help himself first, and then leave for the, you know, for his harem of, it normally has a few lionesses. But when you look at that equation and how that function is, because he is the one that is the progenitor. He, you know, his job is, if you study lions, the male, he mates, and he has more than one, or quite a few of them, you know. He's within that economy. They have a very clear behavior code. He will eat, and they will even stay away, and then once he's done, he will come. So in our context, I think one of the things that we need to interrogate that brings about some of this very dysfunctional, violent behavior is that we have lost the equilibrium of how we should function in our humanity in the relationship between male and female. Some years ago, I'm at pains to make this point, but let me tell you an example. Some years ago, I was making I was asked to be on a panel on GBV.
Mm.
And in my preparation for that, I went to prisons or I interviewed a few guys.
Speak to offenders that have been convicted?
Yes.
Okay.
And this one guy gave me, he just blew my mind with his explanation. He said, you know, I was married. I struggled in the beginning. I had a job, lost my job, but my friends were doing well. And please, I'm saying this purely by way of an example that's maybe an isolated, but want to make a point.
Yes.
And he says, you know, and I would get so much pressure every day. I will hear how weak I am. I will be told how useless I am as a man. And, you know, I'll be compared to my
peers.
This guy bought a car. What are you doing? To the extent that it went, this is maybe an extreme case, but I want to just make a point.
Mm-hmm.
This guy said that it got to the point where I wouldn't even get sex until I bring something home. And the guy told me that I'm not a switch. You can't just switch me on and off. And he said, I started to steal so that at least when I come home,
I have something
to put on the table. So this man experienced so much violence in his emotional setup and in his identity and in his esteem. Because one of the other key things that happens in a relationship, your wife is your cheerleader. That's how men are wired. We like to be told we're doing good. We're looking good, for example. And it's in as simple as it sounds, we lose some of those things. And this guy said that he eventually ended up in a big break where he thought he has made it. And he's out of that deal, he got something like, I think he said 400,000. And that was 94. One of the big robberies that happened in the country. He ended up in jail. He said, you know what I did? I knew that I'm already in trouble. I don't know the details, but he said, I took my whole share. I didn't take a cent of it, and I came and put it on the table just to affirm and to prove I'm a man. Now, I'm using that as a basis that maybe we overlook a little bit. What would bring a man to a point where he wants to prove himself that I'm a man? Some years ago, there were some violent cases where men would cut females, you know, this beheading thing. And I remember watching a story on TV, a guy in Oshakati, I think Kanjengedi, some people might remember, this guy cut his girlfriend's head off. I listened to his own siblings. I listened to the family of the victim. The victim. I listened to the neighbors, and they said, it's not him. That's not him. So I asked myself the question, well, if it's not him, then who? Who in him did it? Because it was him that did, that committed the. So what will bring you to a point where you lose your sense of responsibility, your sense of love, your sense? It takes a fraction of a second sometimes. And please, I'm trying to scratch this issue, not generalizing it. Please hear me well. I said, what would bring a man to a point like that? That, and of course, that act now followed him for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. I believe he must be in correctional facility somewhere as we speak now. That space where we lose our value in terms of, or even our sense of identity as to how do we relate with one another in making the union between male and female a beautiful one for what it's supposed to be.
And that, you know what, that's actually something that's actually a good point, because I was also going to ask, how do we start to then nurture healthier relationships between men and women? Yeah. Because obviously divorce rates are very high.
Yes.
Right? Why? Are people getting married for the right reasons? Do people even know what is expected of them for myself and for my partner when we actually get married? Because a lot of the times it's like, you know, gender roles, we know what they are, but people don't want to act on them now, because obviously maybe as a woman, I'm making more money than my husband. So obviously now you also can't really tell me what it is.
Exactly.
Or you make your money, I make my money. So nobody really has a say over nobody. So how do we cultivate those healthier relationships? Maybe that could be, that could be a start.
Thank you, my dear. I think you just hit the nail on the head, because this is February now.
Yeah.
Already in this year, I've had three young couples that got married end of last year that want to divorce.
Oh, Lord.
I'm serious. I can give you dates. I might just not give the dates because people say, oh, this is what comes.
Yeah.
But I had a couples that got married in November.
That already want to divorce now.
That came to see me now because they want to divorce. So your point is, are we getting married for the right reasons or wrong?
Mm.
I have started to see that the values at that space have so much, are so much eroded that I see young people getting married because they want to, well, again, please, with all due respect, for an Instagram picture.
No, absolutely.
And then we realize that marriage, the union of marriage, the concept of what marriage is completely not known. How? We have not been taught about it at home. We've probably never had role models. Yeah. And even if we've had, I mean, I'm not saying that not everybody, there are people that get married and they come from good backgrounds, good role models, they know what they are going in. I think we are not teaching well in church. I think to really, and also be me being a pastor, I've come to realize that this is something we need to do more for people to understand why they get into this.
Mm.
People will come and they say, yeah, my money, his money. I said, if your partner dies this afternoon, tomorrow morning, what do you know about him, of finances, about everything? If you are in this boat together, but you are operating
as separate
individuals,
you are married, but you live single in your outlook.
Yeah.
And the other problem we have in our nation is we have people that live, that are single, but they live married. Either married and they live single because they don't know what the responsibility is. You can't be speaking mine, his. Even if you are married out of community of property, which I think is a strategic thing, but the concept and the union of marriage speaks of that two being one. And those are the things that I think part of it. Now you get into a relationship. This is part of the reasons, I believe. Some reasons are really could be psychological, could be just mental issues, could be personality, dysfunctionalities, and so on. But I think in that space, we find ourselves that we are in a union and we don't even know the rules and the principles that make this thing work. And then we want to solve our problems by either running out of it without confronting them or by on our own terms. Violence is the ultimate dysfunction. For we are created to love one another. Not just created, all of us, we are wired to want to be loved. Now for men, a man, I think at the core of it, and that's been proven, that what speaks to a man is respect. Now, how you respect a man also is informed by what you understand about how to. You know, when I say respect, how to respect him is to know what makes him tick, what makes him. And a woman is wired, even I love what scripture said. The scripture puts this very nice. It says, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And wife, submit to your husband as unto Christ. Now, that is, there's a whole lot of information in that one statement, but it's speaking to how we should relate with one another. There's another scripture that speaks very well to women. It says, I tell guys, it says, husbands, love your wife with understanding, for they are the weaker vessel. Okay, physically we have proven, unless they go to CrossFit.
Right, yeah. Because the ladies by Damascus, though.
You know, we have with understanding, you know what, I even in my own journey as a married man, having been brought up by single mom, not role models, I tell guys, listen, the way I process understanding, me, I stand under. I'm standing under understanding. So me, I'm standing under. My wife is on. So she's on my shoulders.
So I'm carrying her.
I'm carrying her. So as long as I know this foundation is solid, whatever goes up there, I'm standing under.
Firm, yeah.
It's a way that I have learned to process this.
Yeah.
But when it says, for they are the weaker vessels, it then again speaks of their emotional setup.
Hold that thought, Abudi John. We want to open the lines, and we'll open up the lines right after this.
As more of the world links with Namibia, your business needs a link to world-class staff.
Morning, Jez.
How's it, Pete? Shall I start loading?
Maybe one more check first.
That's why at Business School of Excellence, all...
It's 8:51 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. It's not your ordinary fresh breakfast show. And I think that might even be the case for the rest of the week, Shekwan. Because, I mean, listen, we need to get to a point where we are honest about where we stand as a country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we as a country right now, when it comes to relations of love, we suck right now. We are terrible. Minus zero. Minus zero. Yes, we have got our role models. My parents, they've been together 40 plus years. The role models are there. But it's in isolation, isn't it, also sometimes, where you see our generation now, we're struggling with the world and so on. 083-000-1029. If you have a question for Pastor John, please hit us.
Abuti John.
Abuti John, yes, Abuti John. Shekwan.
Yeah, I wanted to give us just a little bit more context on this case that specifically prompted this conversation this morning.
Okay.
So... you mentioned just a few minutes ago saying that you have couples that got married last year that already won a divorce. This couple was not even married for 2 years.
Oh, snap.
They were high school sweethearts, separated and, you know, reunited and then got married. And also her 14-year-old son was in the house sleeping by the time that she was murdered.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
so now that even brings another conversation of even the trauma that that child has to carry throughout his life, you know. I was thinking, James, the conversation of the death penalty, man. When are we ever going to get there? You know, to the point where you know for a fact that should you do A, B, C, this is going to be the consequence.
I think... Well, you've gone way ahead. For me, that speaks more of what death sentence do you give to a woman that has been abusing her husband emotionally to a point that he has lost his esteem and he gets to a point like that? I'm just throwing that in
and can't necessarily
for
prove
conversation.
It.
Yeah, and can't, because that aspect is hardly touched. What I want to say is that we need to recognize, and I think you have just said it, we are struggling, we suck with...
yeah.
We suck. I think we need to recognize we are sick. Yeah? You need to therefore recognize that we are sick as a nation generally. The statistics that divorce is very high. And it's not only now couples that are newly married. It's even couples that have been married for...
Yeah. Abuli John, just hold that thought for now. Moro.
Yes, good morning, NSK, Abidi John, and the lovely lady, Shekwan.
Morning.
It's actually my first time. Yes, good morning, good morning. It's actually my first time calling in, and, you know, the topic that we basically are discussing is quite interesting, and with that, I want to give my two cents. What I would like to say is, you know, as a country, what I've observed is, I can actually hear myself in the background, so that's why I'm like.
Thinking, we can hear you well.
We can hear you really well, though.
All right. Thank you. So what I'm trying to say is that there are some aspects as men and women which both of us are basically missing. Number one, I would say we lack emotional intelligence. Number two, I would say lack of self-esteem. And number three is that most of the people which are in relationships are materialistic. And with that, those three aspects are basically the contributing factors to gender-based violence. Gender-based violence, at this stage, we can only see people killing each other. But at the background of it, you can see the emotional damage both men and women are going through. The end factor is, in most cases, what is visible at this stage when we see a man killing a woman. And that is what we can see in front of us.
Yeah.
The other aspect of it is, you know, how many men are damaged emotionally? How many women are damaged emotionally that can come up and say, listen, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with these emotions based on the verbal abuse that I'm going through at home. Verbal abuse nowadays does not really only come from a woman's side. Men are also verbally abusive these days.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
So, but what we can get from this is that how women act when they are angry and how men act when they are angry is different. And that also gives, like what Abudi John says, you know, a bit of unfair treatment when we introduce like what Shikwan was asking about, you know, what do you call it, killing, something about
the death penalty.
The death penalty, yes. So when you go deeper into these aspects, you'll see that women can really they are known as one of those sharp tongued people that can say sharp words to a man, you know, that can damage you to the ground, where they can even commit suicide by themselves without even leaving a note to it. So I just feel like, you know, if we can give treatment in these areas, you know, starting from school, you know, we have got social studies at school where already boys and girls, or boy to a boy, or girl to a girl, can have emotional or verbal or physical issues, you know, altercations against each other. You know, instead of calling in the parents, you know, and give disciplinary whatever to these kids, get to the root of it so that these kids at school level can already get that treatment and that knowledge how to deal with emotions when they're angry. How girls can, you know, get that education how to keep their tongue, you know, when they're angry. Because the words they might use to a boy, because it's irreversible, can be really tarnishing. I do not know if you guys are getting me, but
no,
what I'm getting you loud and clear.
Yeah, getting you loud and clear. But you know what I want to ask, Nain? This is like, because I'm like the only female here, it's like three genes. But listen, man, as a woman, and oh Lord, please hold my tongue. As a woman, I'm just, you know what I'm thinking right now? It's just, you know, when you say that, you know, as girls, they need to hold their tongue and so forth. Man, we have babied men all our lives. We have babied men all our lives. We have lost our identities as women. We have lost our voices. We have lost our shine and our sparks just to cater to men. Like, come on, man. Wow. Like, I hear you.
But Shikwan, on the flip side, Shikwan, what I'm saying is that, yes, that might be your defensive way of saying it. But on the other side of it, us men can also say, yes, we have held our cool, you know, for a long time. We did not touch a woman for a long time. And it's going to be a back and forth. But if both these sexual parties or both these genders can, you know, get that education, how to handle themselves. I mean, we are not exempted from getting angry. One way or another, you're going to get angry. But what do you do when you get angry? How do you handle yourself when you get angry? What type of words do you use to the next person when you're angry?
Yeah.
How do you react physically when you're angry? That is the education that we need to give to our young ones.
All right,
education that us men and women must get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
I think you've made your point loud and clear, Buddha. We appreciate you, my man.
Yeah,
thank you so much. All right, cheers, Buddha.
All right, thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Wow. May I?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, you know what, Abudi John, let's do this. We're going to do this. Let's do this. Because you have to respond to that.
Yeah.
Abudi John, you have to respond to that. Let's give you the news.
Thank you.
Let's give you the news. And then right after
the news.
we will allow Abudi John just to break that down and respond it. And then we can close off this conversation.
If
famous
out there, don't allow me to speak, guys.
And that's what we need. We needed to hear that.
Yeah, we needed that, right? Yeah. Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back in a bit. Stick around.
This is a song for December.
And loved ones who are in our thoughts and prayers during this difficult time.
Indeed, it's 9:07, the last week of observing the life of Dr. Hage Kengob, our third sitting president. And I think this week what we're going to do on Fresh FM is perhaps just to celebrate the giant that he was. But notwithstanding that, the NSK and Shikwana is on your radio, and we're still having Abudi John Komati, that's in studio, our certified marriage and relationship counselor, but also our resident commentator when it comes to everything family structure. The gentleman that called us just before nine, he mentioned a couple of things that warrant a response. Abudi John, please take the floor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you most kindly. And let me take you on that clip that you just gave to the nation. I think also I would also just like to interject here and again extend my sincere condolences to the family that have lost their loved one through this case that has initiated this conversation. Words fail to actually, even when we speak here, we are not looking at this as just an isolated case there. We know it's flesh and blood. It's people.
Absolutely.
Yes. And yes, please, our sincere condolences, and may the Lord comfort you. Yes, I'm so excited. I'm actually almost bursting. when two things. When Shekwan answered, she spoke something that I hear all the time. How long have we been mothering men, and you know, we have lost our identity. Key point. When a woman taking the role of a man is dysfunctional. And where is the man if the woman is taking up the role of a man? So is he emasculated? Is he?
But it's been normalized though, Abudi John. It's been normalized. It's been celebrated even today.
When we normalize the abnormal become the norm. And that is where we then all, I think, stand in agreement that we are sick. We need to recognize that. Coming back to what our caller said, he's talking about emotional, and he said it. He made the point that I've been trying to make. He said women are emotional. Women are talkative. Beautiful. That's how women are wired. But is what you say, how you say it, when you say it. and men have kept their cool too long. That's what he said. And women are crying out as well. They say, I want a man that leads. I want a man that can guide, that can take charge of the family. Yeah. Shekwan just said it. You know, how long have we, do we need to stand in the gap of men? So we come from a society, I think, that we need to recognize that truly requires a serious introspection, not just on a family level. And I think perhaps we need to take this conversation much broader.
Yes.
Church, government, family.
Schools.
Schools, yes. The Namibian house.
The Namibian house, yes.
Where's the father? Where's the mother in the Namibian house? Where are the children? And who's keeping guard at the gate? And so on, because that is real. We are in a nation now where drug abuse is prevalent. Children are very much into this. Sex is prevalent. Teenage pregnancies, abortion, all these things are an indicator to a society that needs guidance and healing and restoration. And that comes in a much broader way, where we need to find our values again. I sit and I counsel guys and ladies at home, and I say that these things that we are doing here is stuff that you should have been taught at home. You should have known when you left home, your uncle, your father, your elder brother would have told you, how do you treat a woman? Nobody tells us that. It's like Temptation said, treat her like a lady. Guys don't know how. They look at what they see on how's, you know, these rappers.
These reality TV shows or whatever.
Reality, yeah, and all this. And we are living in a world that has now so much been eroded in our own cultural values, cultural norms, that the younger generation is so disconnected from the elder generation. I see this even in church. A whole lot of elders, that us in a younger congregation, but there's a disconnect. So I think we need to recognize that we are sick. We need to go back to the state. I love what the president did when you hear all these beautiful tributes that he called the traditional leaders together. He called the churches together. He put people and he said, let's try and bring something out of this. I think really, even now, this maybe is going beyond the ambit of the conversation. We need to have a conversation that is much more broader as a nation. And I love that. Let's re-examine the Namibian house. So many things are happening. We keep talking about them. The other day, I'm reading viral videos are going, Hubbly Bubblies are wrong. Kids don't think they are wrong. Youth don't think they are wrong, because that's what's happening everywhere. That's just a little something. Something we say.
Yeah.
But what are we doing about it? A child that grew up with a single mom, or maybe even with a grandma, what do you know about how to treat a woman? How do you know how to treat a man? If you haven't had that role modeling. So yes, I recognize we are sick, but when we now are talking about, it's not a hopeless case, because now we are seeing it and we are talking about it. Our learned brother on the telephone said, he spoke about emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is only one facet of the totality of who we are as human beings. It speaks of our psyche, of our soul, how we relate. You are spirit, soul, and body. and therefore, when it comes to emotional intelligence, we are just talking about being able to control your emotions, being able to consider the other person, being able to recollect yourself and be empathetic and stuff like that. Those are learned things that you are also cultured with at home. So if you have a setting where the school values, we are still having these conversations, what roles and what rights have parents or teachers in terms of disciplining. I go to schools now sometimes, and the teachers are telling me that, you know, the teachers that deals with, what is that class?
Life skills.
Yeah. They said that before it used to be boys that would come after the first break, you see that, you know, they've taken something during break. He said now it's girls too. Teenage pregnancies, where do you draw the line in terms of how do you allow the teacher to get involved in your child's life? What are the values that we are sharing? If we are talking about comprehensive sex education that is introducing values that, for all argument's sake, we have not even had a conversation about it, which are contrary to what kids are being taught at home and what they should be taught at church. They are not even going to church anymore. They'd rather be at the club on Saturday or at a, what is this new place?
What, lounge or what?
At the lounge and stuff like that.
I wouldn't know.
So what I'm saying is we need to take this further, but on a human level, there is hope. You can educate yourself. You can get mentors. Get to speak to psychologists. Get counselors. Get to speak to pastors. People that can, or just get yourself a mentor if you don't have, you've never had a father, you've never had a mother. We've been married, I've been married for 32 years, I've known my wife for 38 years. I'm very much happy to just being able to share information. Help is available, maybe not always readily, and also not always that you have to pay for. But I think when you recognize that there is something wrong, also, it's important. It's easy to say reach out, but I want to encourage. Look at role models around you that you can emulate and reach out to them and stuff like that. So when we come to kill, remember we are talking here of murder, but we are also talking of somebody that wanted to take his own life after having committed this, if the newspaper is reporting correctly. So it tells you that who's winning. That's the ultimate expression of hopelessness and having lost purpose and a sense of value. So it goes much, much more deeper than saying that let's put in the like my dear sister said here, the
death penalty.
The death penalty for somebody that's already dead. The person already want to kill himself. You understand? So is that helping?
I mean, helping to a certain extent, because other people out there can see what the repercussions are, right? Because, like, the thing is, like, people value their lives. Yes, you know, in that moment, something can happen, or something takes over your mind and your body. You're not even, you know, in your right state of mind, so to say, when you commit this crime. But at the end of the day, countries that have the death penalty, their crime rates are low.
And are they healthier? There are other beautiful nations I think there are nations like Singapore, where, when I'm saying that we need to take this conversation broader.
Botswana, just here.
Yeah.
They have the death penalty.
Yeah. And they still have crime, don't they?
Yeah, but it's lower.
Yeah. That's a conversation that I think we can have, but I don't think it's the answer to the... To
killing someone that killed someone else.
Exactly. I think life is so valuable that even when you commit suicide, do you know that your body naturally is wired to kick in survival mode? Even when, you know, you want to breathe, your lungs open, the blood goes to make the body survive. So I think we can avoid that by then focusing and introspecting, evaluating our values. Yes, home is eroded, but we cannot just then say that you can learn it at home. Perhaps now we need to team up, and I say
as a country,
church, which should be the moral compass of the nation, government, and
can I leave you with a thought?
Yes,
as we're closing off this conversation, we've had prayer days before as a country.
Yeah.
We have prayer days for various reasons. Can we perhaps look at political willpower, lobby, and say, look, instead of saying pray it away, can we have a day where we have a conversation day?
Awesome.
A let's talk day.
Awesome.
Whatever relation that is broken that you can identify in your personal life as a Namibian, use this day to conversate with that person as a country, collectively, with political willpower, the same way we did it at the scale of the prayer days.
Beautiful. And I think if there's anything that we can draw from the legacy of our president, is the
consultation.
The consultation and accepting and realizing where we are, so that we can build where we are going.
And where we are right now is we are sick as a country.
Yeah.
All right.
We need God. Yeah, I agree. And also, just out of these conversations we've had, there's already so many pointers. I love what Shekwan was very quiet this morning. I wanted her to speak the more. But what she said was so loaded. It was really loaded. If a woman says, how long can we carry the man? Keep that conversation alone. How do you carry him? Are you carrying him financially? Are you carrying him emotionally? Are you carrying him physically? just that one cry has got a lot.
Was powerful.
We can already. And then she said something. We have even lost our identity.
Yeah.
And yet in this office, in this studio, she's putting in so much, this beautiful whiff of perfume coming. Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Without being chauvinist, but appreciate, this is what we should appreciate. We should appreciate our difference. We should celebrate our difference. So, as I conclude, all of us need love. Love is to be given, and love is also to be received. The problem I see at the core, if you don't have love, how will you even be able to recognize it when you are receiving, when it's been given to you? That's one of the big frustrations that I see in our nation. And I say, God is love. That's, and if we know him, will have access to love. Now, let me tell you, when it comes to relationality, love is very well described by Paul, and it's really all about relation. He said love is kind, love is patient, love is love is not proud, love is not puffed up, love covers. When you look at all those, love believes, love hopes. So when we then just look at those qualities,
love being is kind, safe.
Yeah, being kind, being patient, being able to cover the other person, being able to believe in the other person, being able to have hope. Do you see that that gives us the answer? There's that song that says, love is the answer. I don't know, you are the DJ. You know that song.
Certified marriage and relationship counselor. Abudi John Komati, even spilled into this hour. Thank you so much, Mutsa. We appreciate you. You know for a fact you're not a stranger to the studio. You are most likely going to come back hopefully for happier matters.
Thank you.
But thank you so much, Mutsa.
Thank you most kindly. And Sikwan, much appreciated to be being here. And I want to say, let's not give up hope. When things go bad, they can't go better. They can only go better.
I agree.
Now we can then take a minute, reflect, introspect, but also then accept where we are now and then make a decision to move on and to change. We are wired to love. Let's love.
As I believe. 9:23 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. We've got adulting coming up. If you missed this conversation should be up on our website possibly in the next 30 minutes or so. Stick around.
Shaquan and NSK on 102.9.